So how many here today have used crayons? Wow, none of the kids up. Okay, there we go. One, somebody's listening. Well, they are a staple in the lives of many of us, either from our childhood or those with young, all those young parents or the parents with young children, I should say. We use crayons quite a bit in our house. If you go out to restaurants, crayons are one of the top choices to give to kids with their meal activities. Usually get some piece of paper they can draw on or color on. And I've noticed some different categories over the years while dining with my children. A couple of these. First, restaurants that offer no kids activities or menus. These are people who have never, ever encountered children. They've possibly heard of children. They've seen a couple walking around in the parks maybe, but they have absolutely no real concept of them. Second, are restaurants that offer some color pencils wrapped in a rubber band or a cup full of used crayons, partial crayons. These people have, in fact, they've seen children before. They might have a nephew, they might have a niece, they might have friends with kids, but their exposure is drastically limited. Third, are restaurants that offer new boxes of crayons. You know what I'm talking about, parents. They are fellow parents. Those restaurateurs, those people that own restaurants know what makes kids happy or one of those great joys. And they're, on top of that, even there is a fourth rare category. It's spoken of in myth sometimes. We've heard about it, much like Bigfoot. Not many have seen it. It's difficult to find. These are restaurants that give out Crayola crayons. Now, I hope you, when you raised your hands, you could say that you have used Crayola brand crayons, and not just those cheap, horrible knockoffs, those $1 store crayons that are substandard to the Crayola brand. You know, the 64-pack with that little sharpener in the back? Those were fantastic. Crayola crayons are the pinnacle of crayons. There are many, many cheap knockoffs. Everything you actually buy in a dollar store is probably made with the same plastic, including the crayons. It all has that weird smell that you know is probably leaching into your systems. But, you know, if you just want to keep kids occupied for a little while you and whoever you're eating dinner with or trying to enjoy dinner, whatever they happen to bring to the table usually works. You know, except for those cups full of unsharpened crayons, those might make kids frustrated. But generally, anything that is presented in that time is okay. You know, we recently went out to a restaurant, and I noticed what I thought was the Holy Grail. I noticed what I thought was a genuine box or genuine crayons brought to the table, Crayola crayons. And I was going to start getting on and texting everybody in the world, letting everybody know about my, not my food, because I don't do that, but about the genuine crayon, Crayola crayons. These crayons had that distinctive Crayola label on them. But instead of saying Crayola, they said, in that little box, they said crayon. And I thought, like, well, that's close. I think that's what I'm looking at. Everything looked the same. I noticed there was a made in China sticker on it. But nowhere on those crayons was the Crayola name. Now, at that moment, I was just infuriated. I yelled out, "Fraud! Hypocrites! Brood of vipers!" to all of these people that would actually think that. No, I didn't, because my wife wouldn't eat dinner with me if I did. I wouldn't say I was incensed, but I was disappointed. And I'm sure label design of those people, it was changed just enough to get by the copyright infringement lawyers. But the whole point of that label was to deceive people. In some small, innocuous way, of course. People aren't out to ruin our character by those fake crayons, but the whole purpose of them looking like the Crayola brand was to deceive. You know, I can try to ascribe deeper meaning to what those people were trying to do to us, and counterfeiting, and the syndicates and the cartels that are counterfeiting these crayons, but we're just talking about crayons. We're not talking about anything important other than capitalism and greed, people trying to put one over on you to try to make a little bit more money. That's what it really is. It's really not that important. What is dangerous, though, is having that kind of mentality, that kind of acceptance of whatever is put before you when it comes to important concepts, like religion, like what we do today. You know, Christianity is probably the most counterfeited thing in the whole world. Because belief in Christ leads to baptism. Baptism leads to the Holy Spirit being given to us, entering our lives. It's one of the most prized and possessions mankind can acquire in our lifetimes. And today, Satan's entire purpose is to strip us of that gift, to instead give us something that is counterfeit, that is not real. You know, the early apostles constantly dealt with this kind of counterfeiting of Christianity within their lives, within decades after Christ died. They were dealing with people trying to introduce counterfeit ideas in the true church. You know, Satan hasn't stopped his pursuits since the many, many years ago. Actually, as the end of days approach, he's doing even more to counterfeit this religion. Matthew 24, and starting in verse 19, you can read about what this is going to be like. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath day, for then there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Again, us, brethren. You know, Satan doesn't need to be overly complex and try to nudge us where he wants us to go. He can push us in simple ways, small ways, through means that don't really seem that bad on the surface, that seem to appear as a real thing. It's those little things he does that can nudge us further and further away from the truth. You know, it's that idea of like, well, it looks close enough to Crayola brand. I'll go with that. If that's kind of how we are taking in our religion, then, and how we are living this way of life, we are going to fall for a counterfeit. You know, it's evident that the early church quickly got into this mindset. Galatians 2. It seems like that's all the early apostles were doing, was trying to pull people back from this mindset. It was so easy to ensnare the people. Galatians 2, starting in verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communication to them with that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You know, those who crept into the church at that point were compelling the rest to follow after what they believed through the circumcision. That was a hot topic at that day. And Titus was not compelled to do it, even though those that had crept in with these false doctrines, it didn't maybe seem as wrong to the outside, were trying to push away from what Christ had preached. 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetous they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. You know, again, people in this early church were secretly creeping in, secretly trying to lead people away from the truth towards whatever their own ideas were. And all of those ideas, all of those paths lead to destruction. You know, the early church leaders, as I said, were vigilant at this point, trying to protect the church, trying to weed out these destructive heresies, from keeping people away from all of the attacks that Satan was lobbing towards them. And it's no different, it's no less for any one of us today. Satan is continuing to lob and try to nudge us away from the truth by subtle counterfeiting. You know, the Holy Spirit is what will bring us into the God's family. And it is the only path of obtaining part of God's kingdom. It's the reason that so much as emphasis is placed on us being able to tell the difference between truth and between counterfeit, of us not losing our rewards. Colossians 2, we're told not to give up that reward. Colossians 2 and verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, for whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with increase that is from God. And that's it, brethren. We have to focus our efforts, focus our ideas on the head, on Christ, in holding fast to that which matters, that which is Christ. That's as the cornerstone of our church, of our entire belief. You know, and knowing him well enough to realize that a counterfeit, or when a counterfeit is introduced, that is key for us to continuing. And it's the attitude that each of us need to take if we are going to have a chance at eternal reward.